And with the world slowly grinding towards a greater focus on diversity and inclusion, this shift is being reflected in modern media. So we're seeing more gender and LGBT representation in movies and TV shows in recent years. But how does language contribute to the framing of gender and sexuality, and what impacts does it have on existing stereotypes and perceptions? Here to talk more about it is Dr. Celeste. G'day, Celeste. How are you?
Yeah, really well. Thank you.
That is fantastic to hear. Hope you're enjoying this lovely sunny day before it gets a little too hot later on in the week.
Oh, I did not know that it was bound to get awful.
Yeah, I just had a look. It's going to be 30 degrees on Thursday.
Oof. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Neither am I yet. So this is such a great question because whatever it is.
Oh, sorry, I haven't quite asked a question yet.
How the question of perceptions, I meant.
Yes.
The issue of perceptions, yeah. So just to say that the issue of perceptions, yeah, it wasn't a question, but it's,
right, sorry.
Opening up a conversation around how whatever it is we think is in a way then not only reflected, not necessarily reflected, but then reinforced by whatever it is we are watching or listening to. So very important topic, yes.
Yeah. So how does gendered language come into play in movies and TV shows and things like that?
Yeah. So mostly we're looking at scripting, yeah? So when any sort of, if we're thinking about movies or TV series, all of these are scripted by humans, and there are all sorts of biases that are built into the way that the scripting takes place, and language plays a huge role. So there are some areas that we may consider, including the actions that are related to each of the characters that are being played out, but also the actual dialogue, as I was just mentioning. So one issue that comes up, of course, is that of power and agency. So how much agency do the different characters have in this particular movie or series or whatever it is we're considering? And so some research has considered the types of actions and how these actions are encoded in speech. And they looked at about 800 movie scripts across multiple genres. And they found that males consistently scored higher in power and agency across a number of genres. And when you compare these findings to, say, Disney princess movies, this is consistent. So we find that female characters are usually framed as inferior to and reliant on a male character to kind of even exist, even if they are the protagonists of the
Absolutely.
Film.
Yeah. So what about speech styles? I've got in mind.
So when it comes to speech, this sort of having to be subservient to the role of a male is sort of also seen in the conversations that take place because, and this is something we've discussed in relation to naturalistic interactions outside of scripts, where women are actually depicted as being more cooperative in interaction, so they use more cooperative speech styles, while men are usually portrayed as having more competitive or using more competitive speech styles, including way more interruption.
Yeah, right.
So I was going to say, this is just so interesting because it's not just that these things usually go completely under the radar until someone says, there's difference in terms of how much people interrupt one another in terms of, how that correlates to their identity, their gender identities and so on. But then if that's also what we're exposed to, and it's also going under the radar, it's reinforcing, right? That sort of bias. Yeah.
Absolutely normalizes that kind of behavior. So what effect do these gender biases and roles, what effect do they have on casting and character perception?
Yeah, so if we are presenting, if this sort of framework of presenting women as somehow inferior to men is sort of widely accepted, then you get a lot of these sort of damsel in distress sort of framework that, that a lot of movies work with, or women becoming a sidekick to a male character. And so this sort of power is then encoded in the language that is used. And that's kind of going back to whether it's interruptions or the kinds of, the agency that is encoded in a number of different ways in the types of language that are used. But it also, what's really interesting here is that this sort of thing, this bias, also influences the casting process as well. So directors, when they look for female actors, tend to want to find someone that will fit the image of the character that they have in mind. Mm-hmm. And this is known as typecasting. Yeah, so, and that includes the way they speak, right? So the type of, voice quality and whether they may appear as, cute or needing to be defended or protected, or whether they appear to be strong. So whatever it is they need, they'll kind of typecast them. And so then this also undermines the talents and abilities of actors. Because they need to be sort of lucky enough to be found to kind of female actors to be found as being okay to play that part. Mm. And it relates very interestingly to normativity as well. So if we are typecasting a female actor to play a role that's been already written without sort of any kind of space to rewrite the role to kind of accommodate, right, for the kinds of talent that may be out there, then you're sort of expecting for people to perform certain social norms and rituals. And language plays a big role because then you're kind of looking at ways that people are communicating, both using words or signs, but also non-verbally. So the kind of depiction of that character.
Hmm. Yeah, on that typecasting thing, like if, the women in the film are written to be, placid or cute, you're not gonna hire like a larger woman to play that role, or like a muscular woman or something like that. You're going to go for a sort of preconceived idea.
Exactly.
Hmm. Yeah. So is there any progression towards like more inclusive or more neutral representation of gender in movies and television?
Yeah, really, really good question. So on the surface, it looks as though things are slowly improving. So there are a number of, for example, lesbian or gay relationships that are depicted very prominently in the media, and that they're becoming, I guess, a framework to be expected and that people may relate to or at least be curious to kind of be exposed to, and that is a good thing. And one that was quite interesting in terms of giving rise to a lot of debate was the inclusion of a non-binary character in Sex and the City, the latest one. I think it came out in 2021, where the character Che is actually non-binary. And so on the surface, that's great. There has been quite a lot of pushback on social media, kind of saying that the character is completely simplified, that none of the complexities of what it means to be non-binary are actually captured on there. Mm. And so, of course, it's not all... it's not all sort of perfect, but at least we can say, okay, there is this presence of a character who is referred to using they, them pronouns and who is very prominent in the narrative and also extremely charismatic. And then the other really, what I think is a really good example is the Netflix series called The Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, all my mates are into that. Yeah. Very popular with the gays.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, it's incredible. So what's happened here is, I think, the complete opposite of typecasting. So there was initially Vanya, I think it is, the initial character, you know, the character at the very beginning of the seasons is Vanya. And then Vanya transitions into Victor. And that is the transition that the actual actor, Elliot Page, goes through in real life.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of completely embraced. And that, I think, is wonderful.
An incredible thing to see as a trans person myself. I haven't watched the show, but even just knowing that they, you know, incorporated Elliot's journey into the story is just a wonderful thing to see.
It is wonderful. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, you know, is there a bit of a risk of you know, some of these efforts being a little bit performative, you know, or just for the sake of, you know, diversity, inclusion? Like, you know, like a lot of what Disney does is just sort of throwing some crumbs at the community to say, like, yeah, we ticked off our first gay character box, but there's very little in terms of actually sort of exploring what those relationships mean.
Yes, I think it's a very, yeah, it's an excellent question. It's a really fine line between having whatever products you're designing, movies, series, sell. I think that's shifting potentially as well. You know, will this sell? And I think what we are at a point in time where things are really now shifting, and because we are embracing hopefully more and more diversity and different ways of being and doing in the world, then, you know, the markets will be also, the markets are shifted by what's offered, but then they also kind of influence how things are scripted and so on. I think it really boils down to who is sitting around a table, who are the people sitting around the table writing the scripts?
Absolutely.
And thinking about who are they? What kinds of understandings do they have about the world? And I think as long as you've got enough non-binary people writing about a non-binary character, trans people writing about a trans, well, I mean, in this case, you have the actor, right, being a trans man. So, you know, that's incredible. But as long as that is done properly, I think we're in good hands. I want to be optimistic about all this, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Any final thoughts on this topic?
No, I think my last thing I would say is it's so exciting to kind of see what else this decade is going to bring that is not COVID and that is not bad things happening in terms of, you know, how diversity is really shown on screen and elsewhere. So thanks for the opportunity to share this.
Oh, of course. And we'll chat to you again next week about another fascinating topic related to gender and language and linguistics. Thanks as always, Celeste.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed that topic, we'd like to remind you that we've opened up the opportunity to send your requests for future Language Lab episodes. You can drop us an SMS on 0405 921 921 during the show. You can email us at studio@rtrfm.com.au. You can also find us on Instagram and shoot us a message there. That's The Agenda. Let us know what you'd like to have us chat to Celeste about.